I think it's kind of boring and actually a little bit cheap to give a homily about how the secular world celebrates Christmas. And I'm not planning on doing anything like that here tonight. As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, it's kind of ingenious how the world has chosen to celebrate Christmas, an example of remarkable marketing. Because they've been able to somehow celebrate Christmas by leaving Jesus out of the whole thing. And it's kind of impressive how the world is able to do that out there, and nobody seems to be upset about it, even Christians. We seem to be fine with the whole thing, how the world, we participate quite well with the whole thing. They're celebrating the holidays, I guess, out there. And I just wish we as Christians had half the resourcefulness that they have out there in the world. We would do some remarkable stuff. But while the world out there is celebrating the holidays, everything is a little bit different in here. You notice there's no decorations, no Christmas trees, no poinsettias. I guess they have a nice Advent wreath up there. We haven't yet talked about the baby Jesus. Instead, last week, we learned about Jesus the thief. Jesus the thief who wants to circumvent your security systems that keep you safe, especially from him. The thief who wants to come and break into your life in an unexpected kind of a way, like all good thieves try to do. And a thief who wants to steal your heart and offer you a fresh hope. And so today, we get introduced to this wild man, this prophet, John the Baptist. Can imagine him kind of gaunt, eating insects, clothed in camel's hair, smelling like the desert. I'll bet you're not going to get many Christmas cards this year with John the Baptist on the front cover of them at all. But just imagine for a moment that you and I would get a Christmas card with John the Baptist on the front of the Christmas card, smelling and dirty and dusty from the desert. If we had screens here, I could probably show you a picture of what John the Baptist would really look like. And imagine you had a Christmas card with John the Baptist in the front, so you open the Christmas card up and it says, "Greeting from our home to yours. Our thoughts of you at this time of the year are best expressed in the words of John the Baptist. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent and produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Merry Christmas from the Smith family." So it's a little bit different in here than it is out there. In here, we have to go through Advent if you want to get to Christmas. In here, if you want to meet the baby Jesus, we have to somehow contend with this wild man, John the Baptist. Somehow in here, if we want a fresh hope and see life in a whole different way, we have to deal with this unsafe prophet. So why does the church offer us Jesus the thief? Why this wild John the Baptist for all of us? And could it be that the church is trying to tell us something really, really important? They're not telling it to us out there, but telling us a really, really important in here. The church is trying to say to us, and listen carefully now, that you and I need to repent. To repent. That does not mean merely that you are sorry for your sins. Repentance in the Bible means you change the way you live your life. You live your life in a whole new way. You open yourself up to this Jesus Christ who wants to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. That's what repentance means for all of us. And so really, to repent, folks, you can't play it safe. Mary didn't play it safe. Joseph certainly didn't play it safe. The shepherds didn't play it safe. The magi didn't play it safe. And so you and I can't play it safe if we want to meet this Jesus at the end of the road, because to tell you the truth, folks, Jesus isn't really very safe. And to make my point, I would like to share something with you from the Narnia Chronicles of C.S. Lewis. And in his first book, The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, he makes a very, very important point by portraying Jesus as Aslan, as the lion, who's not safe. There's a brief conversation between a beaver, Mr. Beaver, and this little girl named Susan. And Mr. Beaver says, "Aslan is a lion, a great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe?" "Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." So what Mr. Beaver and Advent and John the Baptist are trying to say to us here today, Jesus the great king isn't safe, but he's awesome. He's good. He's the great king, you know. And that's not all. He wants to offer you a new way, a new life. He wants to offer you a relationship that will quench your very thirst. Which then leads me to the story I really want to share with you, which is in the fifth book of the Narnia Chronicles called The Silver Chair. In this case, the main character is a little girl by the name of Jill. Jill is very thirsty. She's thirsty for truth. She's thirsty for what's good. She's thirsty for what is really, really right. And there stands Aslan, right there in her way, to be able to drink from the stream that's going to be able to quench her thirst. And he's huge. He's big. He's awesome. And he's scary. And it goes like this. "Are you thirsty?" asked the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do for a while?" asked Jill. The lion answered this with only a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at the motionless hulk, she realized she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move away for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. Will you promise not to do anything to me?" asked Jill. "If I come." "I make no such promises," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty that by now, without noticing, she had just took one step nearer. Do you eat little girls?" she asked. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women, men, kings, emperors, cities, and realms," said the lion. And he didn't say it as if he were boasting, nor as if he were sorry, nor as if he were angry. He just said it. "I dare not come to drink," said Jill. "Then you'll die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming one step closer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one would have seen his stern face could ever do that. And her mind suddenly made itself up. It was the worst thing she had ever done. But she went forward to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she had ever tasted. She didn't need to drink much of it, for it quenched her thirst at once. So Jesus that the John the Baptist is offering to us isn't soft, isn't easy, isn't jello, and he's not safe. As a matter of fact, he's rather dangerous. Kind of a risky character, this God of ours is. But he's good. He's a fierce lover. And he's completely unashamed to be your God. As a matter of fact, he's absolutely shameless about it. Will do anything to be in relationship with you. And anything that you have in your life that will take you away from this right relationship with this awesome, dangerous, wonderful God of ours, he is asking you today to repent of all those different things so that you might have a fresh hope, that you might live in a whole new way. To repent. Same way that if you and I want to receive or experience this refreshing water that Jill experienced in the story I just shared with you, you and I need to repent. If you and I really want to experience this fiery, loving baby Jesus lying in a manger, I mean, experience him. Not just come to all of a sudden you got all your stuff done and just in exhaustion finally come, but experience this living, breathing, fiery God, you and I have to repent. You know what you have to repent from. I know what I have to repent from. We need to repent. No Jesus without the wild man John. No joy without the Jordan River. No rejoicing without repentance. Because today, the prophet has spoken.